Work continues all over Metro Detroit today, on streets piled high with mud and debris, and in homes that flooded last weekend. We wish we could say that this was an unprecedented situation following the weekend's heavy rains, but it has been a frustrating reminder of problems with regional water and sewer infrastructure, given the demands that climate is placing on the system. State Representative Abdullah Hamoud is spending today helping people in his district, which includes Dearborn and other parts of Southeast Michigan. Abdullah, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where are you right now?
Well, right now we're outside of a resident's home, and she had about 3 feet of sewage in her basement. And so we have a crew of eight in the basement right now trying to take out all the debris and furniture.
Yeah. Sam Badoun, a Wayne County commissioner, told the Free Press that parts of town look like a war zone today. Is that what you see?
I mean, if you come and you just drive down the east and south end neighborhoods, you'll see people's livelihoods all at the curb, just waiting to be picked up by a garbage truck. And it's extremely unfortunate for some who lost, you know, wedding photos, wedding dresses, pictures of their children from the time that they were born and, you know, into adult. And so it's absolutely devastating what's going on down here.
Wow. Your website says that your staff has logged 436 homes in need of assistance. Do you think that fully represents the extent of the damage?
I can tell you in the last 24 hours, we've logged an additional 120. And so I don't know if we have a true count, but I certainly believe that the damage is far greater. Those are just individuals that are on social media and have seen our form. Those are individuals that might be social media savvy. But there are many folks, many elderly and such. We're getting calls from neighbors, who are calling us to assist them who might not know. We had an 85-year-old woman yesterday who had dementia and she didn't know what was happening in her basement. But we were able to go over there and help out to a degree. But that's not somebody you capture in a form.
What would you say the most urgent needs are right now?
I think immediately for many households is getting electricity back on and for many folks getting their AC and hot water tanks back on. Many people, obviously, in the hot, muggy days we have now, elderly, chronically ill, severe illnesses, having to sleep in a home that still smells like sewage, has not been decontaminated at the moment. And so what we're trying to do is we pumped out water for the first few days. We're taking out furniture and debris, and then we're going to try to come up with a game plan to decontaminate and assist folks for the next phase.
I know that we're a long ways from a long-term fix for this, but what is on your mind knowing what you do of the sewer system in and around Dearborn?
I mean, I think the question on everybody's mind is why and how this happened. We keep hearing the phrase that this is a historic rainfall that hit the city of Dearborn, but we had catastrophic flooding that happened back in 2014. And so this once every 100-year flooding seems to be happening every 4 to 5 years. And so I think what we need now are solutions. How do we mitigate this? It can't be that we just accept this to be the new norm. We know climate change is a factor. We know we have crumbling infrastructure as a factor. What I would love to see is an independent audit and investigation as to why and how this happened, and what can be done to prevent it in the future.
Abdullah, the federal government mandated combined sewer overflow improvements for American cities, a really massive project that was meant to encourage and help, and in some cases force cities to upgrade out-of-date sewer systems and stop flooding. Can you explain what Dearborn decided to do about that mandate, how it was handled?
I mean, for many of our residents, I mean, Dearborn had some of the highest property tax rates in the state. And so we've been paying for that federally mandated CSO project. And all that meant is if your neighborhood had already undergone that project, instead of sewage water, you got rainwater, but the flooding still occurred.
Mm.
So we have to ask ourselves, you know, what was the CSO project meant for? Was it just to separate the lines? Was it to prevent flooding? Because I think a lot of people have questions as to why we're spending, you know, we already spent $200 million and counting. What is this money being spent towards and what is it supposed to prevent? If it's just, you know, preventing sewage water versus rainwater, let's have a conversation about this.
Yeah. Just to fill folks in, there was an approach that was an alternative to sort of the traditional plan that involved Dearborn adding a second sewer pipe parallel to existing ones so that there would be two separate pipes, one for wastewater running to the treatment facility and one for transporting rainwater to the Rouge River. I mean, James Murray, the director of the city's Department of Public Works, said on Saturday at the city's press conference about the flooding that the city did plan for this, but the plan was for 3 inches of water over 24 hours, not the deluge that came down. Given that plans had been made, and like you say, a lot of money had been invested, is it fair to take the city to task for something that geologists would have characterized as a 100-year flood situation?
I think it's 100% fair, because in 2014, when this happened, people accepted it, and they rebuilt and they refurnished, and for this to happen again within 5-6 years, what it tells me is the city failed to plan, calculating for what climate change is doing all across the globe. But it also means that we haven't thought far out into the future enough for a direction that ensures that these houses aren't going to flood. And we're talking about the east and south ends of the community, the least affluent portions of the community, where working class families were most affected, immigrant families were most affected. And so, there has to be a level of accountability. Simply saying that this is God's work is not a sufficient answer. If that is the case, and that is how we understand it, then the city should put out a call and say, you know what, expect this to happen every 3 to 5 years and let people know now, if that's what they strongly believe.
Well, given that you're a candidate for mayor in Dearborn, I mean, what does that accountability look like if the election goes your way? You might end up working with some of these people. What are you suggesting?
Well, before even assuming office, currently as state representative and many other electeds, we're calling for an independent investigation and audit of how and why this happened. Was it a city failure, or was it a, as they said, historic flooding? And most importantly, what are the mitigations? What are the possible, how do we possibly avoid this from happening in the future? The dumping points are along the Rouge River. Do we have to widen the Rouge River? Do we need a second Rouge River? Do we need to go back and increase the diameter size of the sewers that we're installing or placing in the ground all across our city? There has to be a solution somewhere out there. And that's what I'm focused on finding.
What would you like to see the state do as President Biden's infrastructure plan works its way down to the local level? What do you need Governor Whitmer's administration to do to lay the groundwork for long-term solutions?
We've been having strong conversations with the governor and her administration about infrastructure funding, more than just roads, but also our water infrastructure and sewage infrastructure, which is crumbling. And I think we see it on display over this last week. And so what I'd love to see is historic investment into this type of infrastructure to prevent the effects of climate change devastating working families all across our state.
Governor Whitmer's had a front row seat for this, both in the past weekend and in terms of the Midland flooding that happened last spring. Do you feel like the appropriate conversations are happening in Lansing?
I do believe so. I've had several with the governor and the lieutenant governor, as well as their teams. And I do believe this is a priority for the administration. And I'm hopeful with the infrastructure bill that might pass at the federal level, providing the states more resources, we have an opportunity to actually address many of the issues that are facing our families today.
We've mostly been talking about residential. What's the toll on businesses in Dearborn?
For a lot of businesses in the east and south end, they also experience flooding. And I think that sends a signal for a lot of businesses who've typically invested in properties and empty and vacant storefronts to make it their own in our neighborhoods, that they might not want to do this again. And so we have to provide them relief, provide them compensation for all the losses, not just for our small businesses, but also for the families. I mean, for some folks, many people don't have flood coverage on their insurance plan. For many folks, the $10,000 that the majority do have is not enough. We have some families that have lost anywhere between $30,000 to $60,000, $70,000. How do you ever get that back?
Can I ask what shape your own home is in?
My home wasn't hit too bad. I ripped out the carpet fairly early in the morning, and so I just had to replace the padding throughout the basement in certain areas. But in other homes, we had a home 2 days ago that had 7.5 feet of sewage water in the basement. And so that's a complete, everything has to be pulled out, from the drywall to the 2x4s. We had a home yesterday that still has 3 feet of water, still sewage water, still standing in the basement. And now you're going on 4 and 5 days with sewage water standing in your basement. You have to ask yourself, the mold that's building up, the spores that are building up, it's uninhabitable right now.
What's your plan for the next 24 to 48 hours?
As of right now, we're going to keep doing what we have been doing. To date, we've organized volunteers, about 50 volunteers a day. We have 4 to 6 teams going out home by home that's reached out to us, trying to help them pull the debris to the curbside so GFL can come by and pick it up. And that's our plan for the next 48 hours. See what we can see is who we can help, how we can help, and help as much as possible. Because if it's not us, who's going to do this?
Representative Abdullah Hamoud joining us from the field as he is working with volunteers on flood and cleanup. Abdullah, thank you very much.
Thank you.